can save this world. If you are a fan of movies, as I am, have you seen a lot of the Marvel movies? You will see that at the end, one of the superheroes is going to save the world. It could be Iron Man. It could be Captain America. I don't know if there is a Captain Britain. Is there? So I'm just asking. Or maybe you are more on science fiction, like aliens or zombies, and how at the end somehow things that end up well and the world is safe. It could be a man, it could be technology, it could be a whole army who is going against the evil of the moment. Or if we think in comics, it might be medicine to help us in a sense, but not completely, to save the days. Or some people may say, if people were more educated, well, war would be better.
Joy.
Or politicians. You may think politicians can save your country. But who can really change things? Who can really save this world? Who can really make a real change in our country, in this country, in the world? Well, according to the passage we just read, Isaiah chapter 49, there is someone. The name of that someone is the servant. He's God's servant. And we're going to see a few things about him. So he is the one that can save the world. And this is how he is described. Number one, he is chosen by God. He was chosen by God. Check in your Bibles, verse 1. It says, before I was born, the Lord called me. And again, verse 3. He said to me, God said to the servant, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. And even more clear, verse 7. At the end, the last two lines. The Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. So this one is the servant of the Lord. And someone who was chosen by God. I'm sure some of you have seen Star Wars. And there is the guy who is the chosen one. Or maybe some of you have seen Harry Potter. Okay. Harry Potter is the chosen one. So Jesus, the servant here, is the chosen one by God.
Right, so God the servant. So the servant is the chosen one.
Chosen by God, especially, to fulfill a task. And this chosen one is not going to fail. And that is what the passage is saying. But interestingly, so he is chosen by God, but in the second hand, he is not chosen by people. In fact, he is rejected. So God chosen him, but the rest of the people reject him. Check with me verse 4. But I said, says the servant, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. And again, go to verse 7. This is what the Lord says. The Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him, the servant, who was despised and abhorred by the nation. And it's interesting. This song that we are reading right now about this servant is calling to do something that Gareth has been teaching us. Check verse 1. Listen to me. And he's saying, listen to me. I have been chosen by God. But the nations, all the people, are not listening. And they are saying, no. He's been rejected. He's been despised. He's been abhorred. So this song is telling us about someone, a character, who can save the world. It got two characteristics, chosen by God and not chosen by people. How do we know he can save the world? Well, that is exactly what verse 6 is saying. Look what it says. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept." So he says, it is too small that you just save a country, that you just save Israel. And he keeps saying, the verse keeps saying, read with me, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles," which means all the people who are not Jews, "that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So this servant, chosen by God, rejected by other people, has been chosen especially for God to save the world, to save Israel from his captivity in a faraway country, and also to save us, the Gentiles, the people who is not Jew. So God's salvation through his servant is a worldwide salvation. Not just a country. He's not governing as our politicians for the sake of our country, for the benefits of our country. He's ruling for the benefits of all the world. This servant is the one. And actually, this servant fits exactly with Jesus. Because on the cross, Jesus was chosen by God to go there. The Gospel, Jesus said that God chose him for him to die on the cross. But at the same time, Jesus was despised, he was abhorred, he was rejected, he was not chosen by people on the cross. Even his own people denied him. So Jesus was chosen by God to go to the cross and was despised by people by going to the cross. And through the cross, Jesus again becomes light to the nations. Because in that way he can save not only the people who was following him, all the world. So Jesus in the cross can save not just those who are there with him, but all the world across all times. So again, the call of this text for us, for you today, is to listen to that. There is a servant who can save the world, and that servant looks like Jesus. Are you going to listen to him? Are you going to believe in him? Because when we think, what is it normally, why the world needs to be saved? Because normally there is a danger. And Jesus comes to resolve this danger, which is sin in our lives. So that's the reason why he goes to the cross, to pay for our sins, to pay the payment that we should have paid, to receive the condemnation that we should have received. He, Jesus, received it in the cross so that we may not receive it. And he becomes light for the nations, light for our lives. He becomes salvation for us. So listen to him. Believe in him. And it's interesting for us as a church, when we're thinking this question, who can save the world? We can probably really fast answer that question. And we can answer that question rightly. But it's not about just giving the right answer, it's about living the right answer. It's not just about saying Jesus, it's about living Jesus. It's not about knowing and singing about this servant, it's about listening to him and loving him. In fact, it's very interesting that in the whole book of Isaiah, at the end, it's not just the servant who is spreading the word across the world. It's the whole people of him who is being light for nations. And nations are coming to know about this servant. But it's through his people. And again, it is through us, through the church, that other people are going to know about this servant. Just read again this verse. That my salvation may reach to the ends of the world. Reach the ends of the world. And you should ask, how come this salvation will reach the ends of the world if we cannot go a few steps on the right or the left to tell our neighbor about Jesus or to tell others about Jesus? So we should be not just saying, oh yes, this is God's salvation, but we should be listening and making others listen to him. The servant saves the world, but the church tells the world about his salvation. We as his people, we do that. Finally, it's very interesting that in this passage, Jesus, or the servant, is suffering. And he's suffering for his people, who is also suffering. And many of you may say, okay, I'm suffering, I'm going through difficult moments, but Jesus is suffering too, and he understands you. And he calls you again to listen to him, to come to him again, because he suffered, he knows what it is to suffer, and he can heal you, protect you, help you, and be with you. All these promises are God's promises to a nation who was suffering, who was desiring to be restored to what he was, to what they were before. Yeah, maybe that's your reality as well. The servant came to serve the world. Jesus came to save the world. And we as a church, we say, we make others to listen about this salvation. Let me just pray. Father, thank you so much for your servant who came to the world to save. Thank you because he became a light for all the nations. And he became the King of Kings, to whom all will bow down, because he is the Savior, he is the chosen one. But thank you because though he was rejected, this one was prophesied by you hundreds of years before Jesus came. And he knew it. And he decided to be rejected and to suffer the cross for us. Let us remember that, Father. Jesus suffering the cross to save us for our sins, to save us from our sins, and to give us new life. I pray that our hearts may jump with joy by remembering the great salvation that you work, but that also they will listen and they will make others listen about it. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.